And Mick, if you could sign in, please. Okay, if I could ask Larry Tracano to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, if I could ask everyone to also stand. This morning, a former employee, Bobby Unfried, who was a nurse at the Madison County Jail for many years, died in Granite City, and she will be missed. And if we could observe 15 minutes of silence. Thank you.
Minutes?
Seconds, I'm sorry. Let the record reflect that Helen Hawkins and Ann Gorman both have excused absences. And I would entertain a motion from Mr. Tracano to approve the minutes of the February 15th meeting.
I make a motion to approve the December meeting.
Do we have a second?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. We do not have a speaker today, but we do have an award. Let me move over to the podium. And if I could ask Gussie if you could come to the front. Any members of New Salem Missionary Baptist Church who would like to come forward?
Mr. Chairman and fellow board members, thank you for this opportunity. Proclamation, the New Salem Missionary Baptist Church 100th Anniversary, whereby New Salem Missionary Baptist Church is commemorating its 100th anniversary on Sunday, March the 19th, 2017, and the congregation will celebrate the founding of the church by the Reverend James Green on Kerr Island, Venice, Illinois. And whereas the New Salem Baptist Church met in the homes of parishioners under Reverend Morris Webb, and in 1929, under Reverend J.H. Taylor, the church building was erected at 208 Bremen Avenue, which was later destroyed by fire in 1952 and rebuilt immediately. Whereas in 1972, the Reverend Senus Boss moved for a new church to be built at 1349 Klein Street, which remains the current location for the House of Worship. And from 1972 to 1997, several ministers served as pastors of the church until 1998, when the current pastor, the Reverend Larry M. Brown Sr., took over. And whereas the Reverend Brown made history when the New Salem Missionary Baptist Church celebrated a millennium service with the St. Mary's Catholic Church in Madison, where he became the first African American to preside over a service in the Catholic Church. And whereas the members of the New Salem Missionary Baptist Church, working in collaboration with the public, received nonprofit certification, and they joined the United Congregation of Metro East to strengthen and build the community and instituted the Willie Edip Flowers Leadership School in 2008 in honor of the church's oldest living member, who is now 102 years old. And whereas the New Salem Missionary Baptist Church continues to advance and grow through touching the lives of its parishioners and assisting members of the community with various programs and services. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the County Board of the County of Madison, Illinois, hereby commemorates the centennial celebration of the New Salem Missionary Baptist Church and congratulates it as they celebrate its important milestone. Adopted this 15th day of March 2017, Kurt Prinsler, Chairman of the Madison County Board. And I will be presenting this to the pastor, Reverend Larry M. Brown.
Just a moment, Ms. Glasper. I would entertain a motion for the board to adopt this proclamation honoring New Salem Missionary Baptist Church. And I invite Ms. Glasper to make the motion.
I do.
Second?
Second.
Second.
Who seconded?
Doc.
Okay, Doc seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted. Thank you.
Thank you to the board chairman, Prinsler, and to my own board member and church parishioner, Sister Gussie Glasper, and to the entire county board. Certainly we want to thank you for this proclamation and this plaque. We'll present it to the church on Sunday during our anniversary, and after it's presented to the church, we'll be housed in our church library. Again, on behalf of New Salem Missionary Baptist Church, we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Madam Clerk, if you could read the correspondence.
Chairman, we have a letter of public notice from the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency regarding a permit. We have a notice of application for a permit to manage waste. We have the monthly report of the county clerk, circuit clerk, and recorder, the monthly jail population report of the sheriff, the treasurer's monthly investment report.
And Madam Clerk, if I could ask you to read the appointments.
Chairman, you have two appointments. The first, the Madison County Community Development Director, Kristen Pouchard. Number two, the 911 Board, Mark B. McLemore.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to vote on those separate, please.
Very good. I would entertain a motion to approve the appointment of Kristen Pouchard as Director of Community Development.
So moved.
Mr. Second. Walters?
Second.
Second.
Mr. Wesley, any discussion? Yes, Mr. Chapman.
Mr. Chairman, I believe Ms. Pouchard already does an excellent job in that job. She sets an example by coming early and staying late. She sets the tone of teamwork in her department. She's gone out of her way to be available to board members. For example, she assisted with FEMA floodwater issues in Highland. She helped with the Highland Senior Community Center. She's helped with economic issues that will impact Warden, Staunton, and Livingston. She makes her staff available to us and provides appropriate direction. She leads by example. In an era when many are concerned about salaries on our county board, she's even offered to work for less. Even those people who told me they were not intending to vote for Ms. Pouchard, whether they were Democrat or Republican, all had to tell me that she was doing her job at an excellent level. She has coordinated a large economic development summit, the Model Innovative County Summit. and has esteemed participation to include Congressman Shimkus. She received and wrote an Ameren grant for $68,000 additional dollars, and she has processed the Grants Committee for $13.3 million for our PEPP parks. She has also received an additional $1.89 million for fiscal year 2017. All in all, her performance could not be better. I think we'd simply be making official something that she's already doing.
Thank you, Mr. Chapman. Any additional discussion? Yes, Mr. Dye.
Mr. Chairman, I hope somebody can help me out with my memory. I thought at one time this board authorized the Sheriff's Department to do background checks on all the people you hired. Is that correct or not?
The background checks are different for different positions.
Say that again?
The background checks are different for different positions.
Have they ever been presented to this board? I mean, we all know the answer is no. We all know that. I've never received.
I don't think legally they can be.
I think this board approved for the Sheriff's Department to do that.
No.
I've never received any job qualifications for these jobs. I'm not going to get into whether. I'm not going to get into if Ms. Sard is doing a good job or not. I want to get into the fact. Do we ask the Sheriff's Department to do background checks on these individuals, not just her, but other ones? I've never received any background check information, and I've never received what the qualifications and experiences for Ms. Pichard or any of these people that you've hired. And I hope I'm not the only one that feels this way.
I believe we did send out the qualifications. We sent out the job description. We sent out the resume, which is much more than I recall was sent out in previous years. So any other comments?
I received both, Mr. Chairman. Yes, you did.
Yes. I think those are sent out by email and put in the mailboxes. Any other discussion? Hearing none, if we could have a roll call.
Mr. Wesley, will you second the motion for me? Please. I didn't know you were going to do a roll call.
Okay. I'm sorry. Motion carries. If we could, I would now entertain a motion to approve the appointment of Mark Mecklemore.
So moved.
Mr. Walters and second from Mr. Holliday to appoint Mr. Mecklemore as a board member of the Emergency Telephone System Board. Any discussion? Yes, Mr. Walters.
I know we've had some contentious moments on this board, but this gentleman, Mark Mecklemore, is probably one of the most outstanding individuals I've ever had the pleasure of getting to know. He's very intelligent. He's very smart. And I think if every police officer looked like him, there'd never be any crime anywhere. So, great man, and I certainly ask for your vote. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chapman.
Mr. Chairman, on one rather contentious committee meeting we had, Mr. Mecklemore was in the room, and he comported himself very professionally and ensured that everybody in the room was protected. He has the sort of judgment and professionalism that I think that we need on the 9/11 board.
Yes. Mr. Parkinson.
It's going to come as a surprise to you, but I'm going to agree with everything you guys have said, and I think this is a great hire for the county.
Any other discussion?
Is Mr. Parkinson here somewhere?
Any other discussion?
We need a second.
We need a second on this. Oh, well, Mr. Holliday. I'm sorry. And hearing none, if we could go to a voice vote, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I think that means we carry, correct?
Well. You asked for a roll call.
Oh, we all asked for a roll call, so.
Oh, did they ask for a roll call? Yeah.
Chairman asked for a roll call.
And I changed my mind, but let's go. If we could have a roll call, we're all
but
set up for that.
We're rolling through this roll call very quickly.
Okay.
On the river. Oh, my word. Okay.
Motion carries. And I just would like to announce a few committee changes. Mr. Malone is added to the Grants Committee. Mr. Futrell is removed from the Sewer Committee and also the Real Estate Tax Cycle Committee. I would now invite Ms. Champoli to bring in the items under B, Finance and Government Operations Committee.
Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, I've been asked to bring in 1 through 5 and then separate 6 and 7. The summary of reports and claims and transfer, an immediate emergency appropriation for 2017 Health Department Tobacco-Free Program, an immediate emergency appropriation for 2017 Capital Projects Child Advocacy Center, the immediate emergency appropriation 2016 County Board Administration, number 5, the immediate emergency appropriation for 2016 Veterans Assistance Commission's admin for $20,215,000. I move for that adoption. Make that a motion.
Do we have a second?
I'll yes. Second it.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I have a question on the
yes.
On the addition to the County Board Administration. The $4,815, what is that for? It doesn't really explain in here what it's for.
Mr. Asadorian, I know Jennifer and Rickards is here. That's a transfer for last year for the administrative services. I think that was to make the balances even. Okay. Rick's here to speak on that probably if you have any further questions.
Thank you. That's
any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Okay, motion carries. Ms. Champoli, item B6.
B6 is an immediate emergency appropriation for 2016, the Veterans Administration Commission's for $89,930. I put that into a motion. Or
any second?
May.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. And a second.
Yes,
is there a second?
Yes.
Any discussion?
I do. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. So, McCray.
Is this resolution, Mr. Gibbons and Mr. Fasten? There's Rick. Do you recommend passing this resolution for pertinent to the it says that Mr. Burkhart must itemize the bills. Et cetera. Is this okay with you guys?
I think it would be wisest if at some point in the meeting we have an opportunity to discuss this in executive session. Some things have changed since this went through committee, and we would like to give you some additional legal advice on that. But that's up to the board here.
Can I make a motion? We amend the motion to include items 6 and 7, since I believe they both fall in the same category, to discuss in closed session.
We only have a motion on item 6. Do we have yes, Mr. Chapman?
Given Mr. Gibbons' desire to give legal advice and my desire to receive it, I think if there's going to be some sort of closed discussion that we amend the orders of the day and put these at the end of our discussion so that our many guests here are allowed to see the rest of the meeting.
So yes. We need to remove the motion?
Again, that was the intent of my motion,
Withdraw
but
motion.
Mr. Chairman, you said we're only discussing item 6.
Yes.
You know, so how can we now discuss 6 and 7? I mean,
no, we only have a motion on 6, but if we could
withdraw the motion.
Withdraw the motion and move it to executive session at the conclusion of the meeting, or at the end of the meeting.
Yes, I move we suspend the normal order of business, and that we consider items 6 and 7 if they involve a closed session, out of concern for our many guests and spectators.
I'm not sure 7 is considered here. I think we're just talking
7
about
may not be appropriate for executive session.
Yeah.
It's a separate,
I think we're
just totally separate.
Just
issue.
Number 6.
Then it's just number 6 that I want.
Okay.
Second.
With Ms. Champoli, are you willing to withdraw that motion
so
that
could?
Okay. So the motion is withdrawn. If we could go, Ms. Champoli, could you bring in number 7?
Yes. This is a resolution to approve payment of legal services for the November ballot referendum to the Madison County Officer of Electoral Boards.
Do we have a second?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Somebody needs to.
Second. Do we have a second?
Oh, my bad.
Okay. Any discussion? Yes. Ms. Harris.
I'd like to know how Mr. Wigginton came into the picture on this, what legal services he provided. And it was my understanding that we pay $180 an hour for legal services, and it seems like in this we are paying much more than that.
Yeah, Ms. Harris, it is more. I do know that the electoral board process, Ms. Ming Mendoza was the chairman of that. And at that time, State's Attorney Gibbons had to recuse himself. And then the decision on representation for that board went before Chief Judge Hilla. Chief Judge Hilla made the appointment of Stephen Wigginton, the former U.S. attorney, to be the representation for that board. And I assume, Tom, that was the rate Mr. Wigginton normally gets paid, and I don't believe there was necessarily a choice in that.
I don't know.
To the best of my knowledge, I was not part of any negotiation of what Mr. Wigginton's fee would be. You know, Judge Hilla issued the order. He then immediately became legal counsel to the electoral board.
Mr. Chairman, is it possible to set a rate that we would pay? Oh, I'm sorry, Ray. I apologize.
All right, that's what I was going to ask.
I did think it. We had this discussion, I think, over Mr. Burkhart, I believe, the rate he was charging with the VAC situation. And I thought that we'd had a precedent that it was not to exceed a certain hourly rate. And I think $375 an hour is, you know, it's pretty hefty, especially for the – this wasn't really a complex issue didn't require any particular expertise that I'm aware of. But do we have a – didn't we have a precedent for establishing an hourly rate? And or can we establish that so that any attorney in the future would know that if they work for the county, it's not going to exceed. You know.
We may be able to refer that to the Judiciary Committee. Work time, if you'd
you
like
know,
to
Mr.
speak
Gibbons,
on that.
I
agree with the chairman. Yes, I think that's an excellent idea to refer it to the Judiciary Committee, and that we discuss that with the chief judge, and perhaps we can come up with some agreement between us that the chief judge appointments specify a rate that's approved by the county board in advance.
Mr. Chapman, I'm sorry. Mr. Wessler was first. I'm sorry.
Yes. I would like to see us possibly go backwards if we've got a rate established and if we contracted for legal services with a particular attorney. I would like to see us go backwards and implore that legal rate. $375 an hour for Mr. Wigginton is excessive.
I would say that... that Mr. Wigginton did a fine job. He's a very qualified attorney, and a deal was made, and he accepted that job according to that rate. So I just would want to make that comment. And this was not decided by this board. And I think going forward, I think it would be very wise to put this before the Judiciary Committee. But That was concluded in good faith, and yes. Mr. Chapman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm still confused, so it's a point of information. Is there currently a rate that we pay all lawyers or a fee that works for the county, yes or no?
Mr. Gibbons?
The rate that's set relates to defense counsel, and so the current decision of the board is only relates to counsel operating in defense of the county. But I think that it is an excellent suggestion that we bring in the chief judge and that we discuss adding that. It is a rare occurrence, but in this case, obviously, significantly expensive and something that we could cut costs.
I would like to also say in defense of the chief judge, he selected a very about as competent attorney as can be found in the region, former U.S. attorney. And so I don't find that rate out of line for someone of those qualifications. Any other discussion?
Yes,
Mr. Dodd?
Debbie, was this rate negotiated? I thought earlier there was no negotiations on the rate.
Mr. Dodd, I'm not aware of any negotiation on the rate. However, I was told later that that was a reduction of what his normal hourly fee is, which is in excess
reduction
of $570-plus dollars an hour.
That's really nice information.
No. Mr. Asadorian?
Yes. And this attorney only sits in, is this when there's a challenge to a petition or something like that?
The electoral board is made up of the county clerk as chairman, the state's attorney as legal counsel, and the circuit clerk, the three-member board. And in the referenda situation, both the state's attorney and the circuit clerk recused themselves.
Okay.
So two new members had to be appointed, one of them being legal counsel. We also needed legal counsel at that time because the state's attorney not only recused himself as member, but he recused the state's attorney's office as legal counsel.
Okay.
So the board would be acting without that, and I was very concerned about not having legal counsel during that proceeding.
So my point is this is a rare occurrence.
This is an extremely rare occurrence.
And yeah, if we refer this back to judiciary, I believe that's the correct way to do it and try and negotiate what would be a fair amount.
Yes, Mr. Parkinson.
Yeah, I was in the Finance Committee when this was all being discussed, and I think that the majority of the people that were present that day on this board all agree that this is a lot of money to pay for an attorney fee. I think that what we're talking about is appropriate. I do agree with Mr. Prinsler that we're probably bound to pay this based on an agreement that was made prior to this man being hired for this job. I don't agree with the exorbitant amount myself, but I think we do need to visit some type of flat rate in the future. I just don't know that we can retroactively go after this one in particular, even though I don't agree with the amount.
Yes, Mr. Dodd.
Just one more question, Mr. Gibbons. Was you in the room during negotiation? Did you hear the $375 figure?
No, sir, I was not.
Then who heard the figure? I mean, you're telling me it was approved. So who on the board heard that figure? Debbie didn't. You didn't.
Mr. Dodd, I have to make the assumption that it was a number that was discussed between the chief judge and Mr. Wigington. It was never an item that came before the three-member board to vote on.
That's usually the way it works.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Wesley.
I'd like to ask, under normal circumstances, if Mr. Gibbons had not recused himself, what his hourly billing rate would have been to us for that same service, if you had not recused yourself.
But if it was, I think what he may be asking is if you appointed a special state's attorney, it would cost how much an hour?
The maximum rate paid in defense work is $185 an hour.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chapman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think it would have streamlined this whole process if originally the Finance Committee had found out in January rather than 2 months later that this bill even existed. It would have given us a little bit more time if there was negotiation that needed to go on for us to be informed and to negotiate. And I am wondering, and that was kind of how I was directing my question, I guess I would direct a question, do you feel that we are duty-bound to pay this bill, Mr. Gibbons, at the current rate?
I think I agree with Chairman Prinsler.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, any additional discussion? We do have a motion on the floor.
In a second?
In a second. Yes, Mr. Parkinson.
I would like us to visit this in the future to make sure that if this board is going to be held accountable for these bills, that before we get into an agreement, that these are brought to us so that we can have this discussion ahead of time and not be on the hook for a bill that we think is exorbitant.
I do think that that's a good point, as Mr. McRae said, a good item to discuss in the Judiciary Committee going forward. Of course, Mr. Walters is the chairman. But we do have a motion. I do believe this is a bill that needs to be paid, and we do have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Thank you.
Motion carries.
Make note of that.
Okay, very good. I now would like to recognize Mr. Moore, Chairman of the Government Affairs Committee, and I would entertain a motion to remove the County Board resolution from the table. Mr. Moore.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Members of the board, just for a little background, this motion, resolution I'm speaking of is the one concerning the first meeting we had on December 5th, whenever the question came as to whether the chairman was presiding over that meeting or not. My committee has previously considered and passed the county board resolution. I now move to take this resolution from the table and resume consideration of the resolution.
We have a second.
Second.
Second, Ms. Harris. I will note that a motion to take from the table is non-debatable, and so I will go directly to roll call.
Chairman, I need for Ms. Harris to...
Okay.
Can you explain what take from the table means?
It was put on the table for the future, and it's been taken off the table.
So we're not going to vote on it then?
No, we are, but what we're doing is right now just taking it off the table. We will have an opportunity to discuss it.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is only a vote to take the motion from the table and so that we can consider it. So we do have a motion to take this resolution from the table and to continue consideration of that motion. We have a second. Roll call.
Oh, no.
Motion carries. I would also, I would again like to recognize Mr. Moore, and I would entertain a motion to approve the county board resolution. Mr. Moore?
Mr. Chairman, members, again, I now make a move that the county board resolution previously approved by the Government Relations Committee be approved by the full county board.
Do we have a second? Mr. Madison, second. Now, it is appropriate now to discuss this motion. Mr. Parkinson?
I have a couple things I'd like.
Point of personal privilege, would you please read the motion to us so we know what we're discussing?
Mr. Moore, I'd invite you to read the motion.
The entire motion?
Yes.
No, not the entire. Not the entire not the resolution.
Entire motion. I'll just try to read the pertinent portions here. Resolution concerning the county board. On December 5th, with a duly elected and sworn county board chairman, Kurt Prinsler, who was at all times physically present.
I don't think we need to read that entire. I mean, we have the resolution, just the motion.
Repeat the motion.
Madam Clerk, could you repeat the motion?
It's a motion to approve the resolution for the December 5th.
So I think it's an appropriate motion, and it's been seconded, and now I think it's appropriate to discuss that. Mr. Asadorian?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, County Board members. Inside this resolution, I find a couple of troubling things. First of all, it seems like we're trying to rewrite history here to a certain degree. But at one point, it says that the chairman was present in the chairman's seat and presiding. And then further down where it says, further, the county board resolves that all actions taken by Kurt Prinsler, the duly appointed elected chairman, anyone designated by Mr. Prinsler, as we all know, that's what happened. We can't, in all honesty, approve this because the designated individual was not legitimate to run the meeting. He was no longer a county board member. I believe that, you know, looking back, I believe that had we immediately, when you opened the meeting, Mr. Chairman, had we immediately appointed a vice chairman and allowed the vice chairman to run the meeting, I think everything would have been fine. But unfortunately, no matter what this says, the individual that ran the meeting was not an active county board member, and I believe that's what the whole issue revolves around. And Mr. Gibbons, have you read this resolution?
I have.
You have? Okay. Is this the proper form to put this in? I mean, are we saying that we've
were approving things that didn't really happen.
Mr. Asadorian, would you address the chair? I'd like to have some other people.
I'm asking for a legal opinion on this.
Well, I'd like to also have some other county board members.
But I'd like to have a legal opinion as to whether or not this is the proper way to proceed on this, is what I'm asking for. Because there are some differences in here. That's all.
Okay. Ms. Novosich?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I would like to hear from Mr. Gibbons on what he feels as though is right in this resolution,
okay,
please.
Mr. Gibbons?
I'd like to thank Chairman Donald Moore for allowing me to be present at the Government Relations Committee to discuss this in depth. I sent a copy of my recommended plan to reform the county board with a resolution to all members of the county board. And I had an opportunity to discuss that with the members at the Government Relations Committee. I did not draft this resolution, and it is not my preferred plan. But I do want to inform the members that no matter what happens moving forward, the state's attorney's office will zealously and vigorously defend all actions of the county board, regardless of what happens on this vote. That is our duty, and that is what we will continue to do at all times. I was grateful to have an opportunity to talk to the members of your committee, Mr. Moore, but we simply provide advice, and the board is the governing body of the county and makes its decision on how to move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Gibbons. Ms. Kuhn.
Yes, personally, I feel there's been really too much time spent on this. I think we need to move forward, and I'm going to abstain for one reason. I feel the politics of both sides needs to be taken away and a resolution of compromise be given to the county board so we can move on with county business and help the people. I would abstain if Mr. Gibbons' resolution be put forward also. All this bickering is uncalled for and not helping our employers, the people of Madison County. This isn't fair to the county board or the people. And if we could just get both sides to sit down and discuss this and take the politics
Ms.
out,
Kuhn.
Because politics are...
Ms. Kuhn, this I will say, because I know this as a fact, this resolution was given to the state's attorney. He had 10 days to review it. Isn't that right, Mr. Moore? And it was properly before it came to the committee, it was noticed up for all committee members, went before the Government Affairs Committee. And so this was the only resolution that the Government Affairs Committee. There was an opportunity, but we've passed that opportunity. It was only after the Government Affairs Committee voted was that there was, again, other ideas. And so I think the Government Affairs Committee in that first meeting was operating in total good faith, and I think this is a very fine resolution.
Don has done a fantastic job in chairing the committee. But it still is unfair to the board when you have the state's attorney, who is a legal advisor, and you're the chairman. And it's like you're being asked to pick sides. So why can't there be a compromise? I understand what you're saying, but there still needs to be something that I don't know the legality. I mean, maybe there's something there Mr. Gibbons is talking about that could cause us problems.
I think this is a very fine resolution. Any other comments?
I have a comment.
Yes, Mr. Dodd.
Some of these county board members, I'd like to use the correct terminology I feel about this abstaining, but you'd probably throw me off the floor. You know, you get elected by the people to represent the people. And these county board members that want to abstain all the time, they sure as heck are not representing the people that elected them.
I have
Thank
never
you, Mr. Dodd.
Before.
yes, Ms. Harris.
I'd like to bring everyone's attention to our ordinance that we are supposed to be following, which states, it's ordinance 30.02, the county board chairperson shall preside over the meetings of the board. The chairperson pro tem shall preside in the absence of the chairperson. I would compel fellow board members, can anyone say that Kurt was absent that day? Because I think if we are following this ordinance, he was not absent. He was sitting right there. And so we are fighting over semantics here, which is ridiculous.
Any other comments?
Roll
yes,
call.
Yes, Mr. Parkinson?
Thank you. In response to what she just said, that Mr. Chairman, the resolution states in the very first line, Whereas the Madison County Board convened on December 5th, 2016, with the duly elected and sworn County Board Chairman, Kurt Prenzler, who was at all times physically present in the chairman's seat and presiding. If I remember correctly, you were in Mr. Gibbons' seat, not in that chairman's seat. And secondly...
That's incorrect, Mr. Parkinson.
Secondly, if you lay all that aside, all right, and say you agree with what Ms. Harris just brought up, the fact still remains that in order to amend an ordinance or supplement a code in this county, under Section 10.15, if the county board shall desire to amend an existing chapter or section of this code, the chapter or section shall be specifically repealed and a new chapter or section containing the desired amendment substituted in its place. Well, that's not what this says. This is in violation of our own ordinances. This is changing an ordinance down on the bottom. Further, the county board finds if any part of ordinance 30.02D is found to be inconsistent with the above three findings, we're hereby amending it.
Thank you, Mr.
We can't
Markson.
Amend it that way. This is
Thank
illegal.
You. Mr. Moore.
Mr. Chairman, I think we're talking about which seats, whether we're presiding or conducting, is a matter of semantics. I think the people of Madison County want us to get on with business. I think it's a little bit ludicrous to be making statements like this. If I could have a little latitude, sir, as far as time, I'll be concise, but I'd like to mention a few things that were spoken about at the committee during the last two sessions.
Sure.
If there's no objection to the floor, could I read five short lines from Robert Rules I think are pertinent?
Objection. He's reading from documents.
That's why I asked if there's no objections.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Mr. Moore.
So I can't read from the book?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
I thought we were going by Robert's Rules of Order.
I think it's important that we keep... I agree with Ms. Harris, and Mr. Moore, go ahead. Because I think we need to get this resolved.
I source this book because I'm drawing on knowledge from that's going to guide me in the right direction. From the very first part, it says, to keep order, one person is chosen to preside over the meeting. This person enforces the rules and designates who is to speak at any given time. Designates who is to speak at any given time. Mr. Prendler said, Mr. Steve Adler, due to your experience with parliamentary procedure, will you please take the microphone and conduct, for efficiency reasons, the meeting? I believe that's what he did. He didn't turn over the chairmanship to you. When Ms. Ming Mendoza swore in the members, the chairmanship wasn't turned over to her. She was performing her duties as clerk, just as Mr. Steve Adler was helping with all of us that evening. So the presiding officer may be elected specifically for the meeting or elected and is called the chairman. Also, the meeting begins when it's called to order by the presiding officer. The chairman or president takes his place and says in a clear voice, the meeting comes to order. These are facts of the meeting minutes. I think a reasonable person would believe that Mr. Chairman present during the meeting did preside over the meeting. Also, if a chairman pro temp was put into place, it says there a chairman pro temp will be put into place to run the meeting in the absence of the chairman.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Petrillo.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. In the last meeting that I sat in, Mr. Gibbons, if I recall correctly, gave an explanation of why that 10 days took place without a without communication. I believe there was conflicts with both parties on dates that they were to meet. Now, for some reason, we want to exclude that of why that wasn't taken care of. Now, I may be incorrect, but I don't want to quote Mr. Gibbons. So, Mr. Gibbons, could I call upon you and ask, did I hear that correctly, that there was conflict that and difficulty in meeting to discuss this issue?
You are correct, but this is that was as it related to the Government Relations Committee of last month, and since that time there was a Government Relations Committee this month where there was adequate time to consider both proposals.
And I believe also, if I may, that at that time we were also presented with a option that we could do this very clearly, very easily, and without politics involved, and we have refused to even address that.
Yes, any additional comments?
I still have some more comments, if I could.
Yes, Mr. Moore.
During the meeting, also, the credentials committee was put together. Mr. Adler named three names, at which time the chairman interdicted and said, no, I like this person instead. showing he had influence over the meeting and wasn't absent, still participating and being the authority figure. At the end of the meeting, there was difficulty in voting on committees and appointments because we didn't have enough information. We're going to postpone it. Mr. Adler said, why don't we give this to the personnel committee to discuss? Mr. Chairman was very aware of what was going on. He said, no, we can't do that because we don't have a personnel committee yet put together. So I think clearly he was in charge of the meeting from start to finish. And I would reiterate 2 points. We have a resolution. Number one, we don't really even think it's needed if the reasonable man says he was in charge, presiding over the meeting. If the resolution that we have doesn't work at that point in time, let's go with another one. Nothing says we can't change it later. My final point.
That's a good point, Mr. Moore.
My final point would be that we have the full faith and confidence of Mr. Gibbons to represent us if needed down the road. He's going to give 100% of his effort to see that he leads us in the right direction.
Another good point. Ms. Novosic.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have 2 things to say with this. I think part of the problem here in the disconnect is because a chairman pro tem that's usually appointed to serve in that capacity is a member of the county board at that time, and Mr. Adler was no longer serving as a member of the county board during that meeting. I think that's part of this. Secondly, if Mr. Gibbons did send us all and proposed what he thought should go into a resolution, why aren't we discussing his as well as what was presented to us here?
We've been given it's been passed through the Government Relations Committee, and we have it before us. And any additional discussion?
So the Government Relations Committee pretty much then ignored the state's attorney that you just said, Mr. Moore, that we want to listen to and
seek his advice. Ms. Champoli, you have not spoken yet?
Yes. Mr. Astadorian, that was addressed in the meeting. It was determined by the committee and the chair that they would go with the resolution that they had presented then, and if it does not pass, then they will consider the next resolution to be voted on. So it depends on if it passed or not. So I would appreciate to the rest of the board if we could just pass, vote on it, see if it passes. If it does, then it's done. If it's not, then we'll move on.
Point of order.
Thank you, Mission.
Point of order.
Mr. Minner.
Point of order.
Who drafted the resolution that we have here?
This was a combined effort of a meeting with Mr. Gibbons and Mr. Ezra and Don Moore and myself and Doug Hume, and it was presented to Mr. Gibbons for review for about 10 days. We didn't hear anything. It passed through government, Don Moore's committee.
Point of order.
Yes.
A while ago, one of my board members wanted to speak, and you told him that you were deferring to somebody that already spoke. Mr. Moore's had the opportunity to speak a couple times on this
He's
issue.
He's chairman
so
of the committee.
We're afforded the same thing, in fairness.
Mr. McRae?
I think from the very beginning, Mr. Gibbons said, in the abundance of caution, he wanted to re-swear in people. I personally, I probably would have done that, I think, in the abundance of caution. But I don't think a judge in the world is a year from now or 5 years from now is going to say that we weren't all duly elected. I understand Mr. Gibbons' point. I really do. But I don't think that, and you don't want to go there, and I understand that as well. This doesn't really keep me awake at night. And what keeps me awake at night is the power plant closing in East Alton and the jobs moving out of Olin and the Granite City Steel workers. And I think what we really need to do, this is really a very small issue. And if we're going to make Madison County better and attract jobs and we're going to have to, you know, perform like adults, and I think this is really a very I'd like to see it resolved one way or the other. We're wasting way too much time on it.
Thank you, Mr. McRae. Any other speakers? Mr. Parkinson, I'll let you speak again.
Thank you. I concur with him. There are a lot more important issues. However, it is an important issue when we're talking about tax dollars that may be wasted on potential lawsuits from big corporations because this wasn't done correctly.
Are we talking about your lawsuit? Or are we talking about possibilities of lawsuits?
I don't think my lawsuit is pertinent to this, Mr. Prinsler, but if you want to bring that up in public forum, I think that we can talk about that. I appreciate the fact that things are now being done correctly after my lawsuit was filed, but back to my issue. the resolution was not a joint effort between Mr. Gibbons, as you portrayed it to be. I know that to be true. I have no idea why this county board can't look at both resolutions and talk about both resolutions and figure out which one is the best solution for this issue. It's as he said, it's childish that we only have to look at one resolution that's put together by an attorney that is not representative of this county. He's not voted on by these people.
Thank you, Mr. Parkinson.
I'm not finished. Mr. Gibbons is the one that's going to have to entertain the lawsuits on this, and he's not a party to this resolution. It's not fair.
Thank you, Mr. Parkinson. Mr. Madison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that the county board is getting an opportunity to determine what to do on this. It's gone through the Government Relations Committee. We looked at it. There was really no opposition in the meeting to this at the time, asking all these questions. We had the discussion. We, in abundance of safety, we decided to go with this.
Point of order.
We discussed the other day in the government relations meeting that if this was voted down, we'd look at one part of Mr. Gibbons, what he wrote, what he put together. So I think it needs to go to an up or down vote so we can move on one way or the other.
Call for the vote. And how many Democrats sit on that committee?
Call for the vote.
Okay. Well, you know, I think we've had a good discussion.
I have
this.
One more thing to say, Mr.
Pizler. All night. Mr.
There's a motion on the floor, Mr. Chairman.
There's a motion.
Other people have had opportunities to speak more than once, and I'm being denied again.
Let me let Mr. Moore speak now because you spoke last time, and I'll let Mr. Moore speak, and then I'll let you speak again.
Fair enough.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for letting me speak one more time. I did ask for a little bit more latitude given what was going on with the situation, its age, and the complexity of different perspectives. So thank you for letting me talk one more time. I will make a side note here. Anyone comes to my committee meetings, they're given pretty much the floor to speak as much as they want to, Mr. Parkinson. So thank you for your consideration. I would finally like to clarify actually a question from Mr. Minner and Mr. Parkinson.
Pick that mic up, please.
Mr. Minner and Mr. Parkinson concerning why we're going
Mr.
with
Mr. Moore, if you could speak into the microphone, there's a request.
Why we're going with this resolution. The resolution, there was a meeting held on January 30th that included our state's attorney, Mr. Gibbons. There was exchange of information. The resolution was put together the following Monday. It was sent to him in an email, at which time we were hoping to get a response back from Mr. Gibbons. Our committee meeting was held that following Monday, 7 days later, and we had not heard back. And it was our contention during that meeting that we couldn't say what his thoughts were, but we would have thought that if he had a problem with it, he would have let us know. And so that's why we went with that resolution. At the time, that's the only one we had. And also, this is my final point, this resolution, that resolution, a third resolution, a fourth resolution, all could do the job if needed at some point in time.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Mr. Parkinson. And then I'm going to ask that you be the last speaker. I think we've had an adequate opportunity to discuss this, and I'd like to go to the roll call vote.
Well, I commend you on letting me have the last word. Mr. Madison's comments earlier on the fact that there was very little discussion in that meeting is a bold-faced lie. I was provided plenty of opportunity.
The first meeting.
And that's a source of the lawsuit that I've had. I know you were going to talk about that in that meeting.
Go ahead, Mr. Parkinson.
I would have been there. So I showed up at the second meeting when it was properly put on the agenda. And I spoke at that, and I was given all the opportunity I wanted to speak at that. So to say that there was no discussion and nobody showed up at the meeting is a bold-faced lie, and I commend the chairman of that committee for allowing me to have that kind of
Mr. Parkinson, I will I mentioned that you would be the last, but you've called Mr. Madison a liar. I will invite Mr. Madison to speak, and then that will be the last speaker, and then we'll go to a roll call vote. Mr. Madison.
I believe that is highly against the rules, and I don't appreciate it. I'm not lying. There was an agenda. That was an open meeting. Maybe it wasn't descriptive enough for him to understand. I'm sorry, but anybody that would have been there could have asked questions. There was no one there, so we had a discussion. That's how it went. There was no one there. What do you want me to do?
Okay. End of discussion. I'm calling for a roll call. Roll call. I recommend a yes vote to approve the county board resolution.
Whoa. Chairman can't
do
that.
Wow.
Chairman cannot. A point of order. Mr. Chairman, point of order. You are to remain neutral in this meeting. That, Mr. Moore, look it up.
Okay.
In the
I withdraw
Mr.
that.
Mr. Dunston did it many times before he asked for a vote. He gave us his views. Do you not remember this? It drives me crazy. I guess I was the only one that's been listening the past few years. Mr. His predecessor did it many times, asked us to vote the way he liked.
If I have made a mistake, I apologize. But and so I withdraw that. I'm not aware of that rule. If I did violate the rule, I apologize. But I am calling for a roll call vote.
Thank you for the apology, sir.
Yes. Thank you for recognizing it.
Is it Mr. Jones, are you hitting the confirm button?
He's got it.
Motion carried. Now I'd like to go to the Grants Committee, and Mr. Jones, you are next up. I would invite you to bring in the resolutions from the Grants Committee.
Can we separate these, please, sir? Mr. Chairman, can we separate
yes,
these?
Yes, we can. If you could bring in resolution number one separately.
Mr. Chairman, the resolution approving authorizing that didn't come out?
Number two was
pulled. No, we pulled that.
I didn't know that.
I'm sorry. Okay, back to Mr. Jones. Yes, we're entertaining. I would entertain a motion to bring in number one, D1.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, fellow board members. Ask for a motion to a resolution authorizing the commitment to the Leadership Council of Southwestern Illinois.
A second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Jones, if you could please bring in number D2.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll make a motion to approve a resolution authorizing the park and recreation grants.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. We have no resolutions from the Personnel and Labor Relations Committee, so if we would go to, I would like to invite Mr. Maxwell to bring in a resolution from the Planning and Development Committee.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the board, Planning and Development Committee has one resolution for your consideration. This is a resolution authorizing the emergency demolition of an unsafe structure at 8301 Fairway Boulevard, Collinsville. It was signed by all members of the board present, and I move for its adoption.
Second.
Having a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries?
Yes.
Okay, if we could go.
Mr. Chairman, was that a cost item to us, or is that just.
Point of order, that costs money. We have to have a roll call.
Yeah, we have to
I understood that there was no cost involved, but I'm sorry.
I don't know. I didn't see a cost on here.
Yes,
Mr. Chairman, we do need to do a roll call
on this.
Sorry. Because there will be potential cost inflicted to the residents of Madison County as part of this demolition.
Okay, I apologize. Let's go. If I could have a roll call. Okay. Motion carries. Ms. Glasper, Chairman of the Public Safety Committee, if you would please bring in the report.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and fellow board members. Your Public Safety Committee would like to submit its report covering amusement licenses, and I ask that it be placed on file.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. To Mr. Chapman, I would invite you to bring in the resolutions from the Real Estate Tax Cycle Committee.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and ladies and gentlemen of the board, I move the property tax resolution unanimously approved by the Real Estate Tax Cycle Committee on Wednesday, March 15th, be approved by the Madison County Board.
Is there a second?
Yes.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr.
Parkinson.
And I would invite Mr. Jones with the Sewer Facilities Committee to bring in the resolution.
Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, I'd like to make a motion to approve the revised resolution to award a contract for a three-year odor and corrosion service contract with the Madison County Special Service Area Number 1.
Second.
Second, Mr. Asadorian.
Point of order. He needs to name that. Who it's being awarded to.
Sorry. Let me flip back to it.
Evacua.
Thank you.
Did everyone understand that?
Evacua is the name of the company that we're
okay.
switching to.
Very good. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries to the Transportation Committee. Mr. McRae, I invite you to bring in the items on that agenda.
Mr. Chairman, the Transportation Committee has four items for the board's consideration tonight. We had an agreement funding resolution for Clifton Terrace Road resurfacing with the Village of Godfrey. We have an agreement funding resolution for Pearl Street resurfacing with the Village of Godfrey. We have an agreement funding resolution for Spring Valley Road traffic signals with the City of Troy. And an agreement for preliminary engineering services for Heron Bridge on Buchta Road in Fort Russell Township. And this has been approved by the Transportation Committee unanimously, and I would make a motion for their approval.
Second.
Having a second, any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, do we have the motion carries?
Motion carries. Mr. Holliday, I would invite you to bring in the Health Department report.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the board, I would like to call to order the Madison County Board of Health meeting for Wednesday, March the 15th, 2017.
Thank you, Mr. Holliday.
And I'm asking for approval of the September 21st, 2016, December 21st, 2016 minutes.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Okay. Boy, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I also ask that activity report be placed on file as presented. And we also have a resolution reappointing members to the Health Board Advisory Committee, and I so move.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
It's a voice vote.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.
That's all I have.
Motion carried. We now come to new business. Is there any new business?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we go into closed session regarding litigation.
We have a motion to go into closed session.
Second.
Second.
Can I read? Don't we need to make the motion?
Do we need a
okay, I guess. A motion is made to enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120 entitled the Illinois Open Meetings Act, Section 2C, Paragraph 11 and 12 to discuss pending litigation.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none. This is we did receive a second?
Yes.
Okay, we have a second. This is a motion to go into executive session. Roll call. Motion carries. And we're going to ask a number of folks to leave the room because we're going into executive session.